Yeah. Wasn't that a great story? Good morning. I'm Derek Outley. I'm not the lead pastor. I want to always start with that because if you're new here, I want you to come back and don't judge our church based on this message I'm about to give right here. It's a lot of pressure to get up on stage sometimes and share what you hope and feel God's putting in your heart for other people. It's one thing for God to speak to you. It's another thing for God to speak to you to go tell somebody else something, you know. It's a little more nerve-wracking. And I do hold this pulpit, as we used to call it back in the day, with high honor. And I respect the job of a preacher. Many of you bring your friends and your family and you pray for people to come to church. And then when they come and then I'm up on stage, one, I don't want you to be disappointed, but two, I want to make sure that I have a word from God, and not just from me. Amen. So, I'm glad you're here. I want to just say, to Pastor Josh, who might be watching online, that I love you. You're an amazing pastor and an amazing brother and an amazing friend to me. And give it up for Pastor Josh, who is taking a nice little week off. And I want to tell you guys that that this is the first person to ever speak with braces on. So if you see shiny things coming from these lights, it is my teeth. They are shining, and I don't have any metal, like, you know, what do you call them? Like, what do you call the things that you... Grill. I don't have a grill. I just have braces. So give it up. Anybody else got braces? Give it up, my braces family. Where are all my middle schoolers? Me and all the middle schoolers, give it up. So if you see me kind of like talking funny or something, you know, midway through, hey, I've never spoke on stage with braces. So this is new for me, too. I want to tell you, too, that testimony video that we just saw. I was driving somewhere with Charlie Lamont, and if you don't know Charlie Lamont, he was at the end of the video, and we call him the parking lot pastor, and we were driving to an air show that he had gotten me and my family tickets for, and he began to share this story. And one thing that didn't get into the video, which I was hoping it would, was at the end, I said, Charlie, the second man, that was really weird, wasn't it? Like, and he was telling just the whole situation on the second man, the second homeless person, the second displaced person in this story. And I said, Charlie, do you think that was an angel? And he said, I think it was an angel. I think God put that man there to show me something. And I don't know if you know Charlie Lamont, but every single person that walks on this property, he will let you know that God loves you and that he loves you. When I heard this story, I was impacted. So I asked him, hey, you should share this story. And he said, I've never shared this story. I don't know if I want to share this story. Years go by, and I'm in his office, and I see the Alpo can on his shelf. It's really there. And I said, that's the can. That's the can from the story. And he's like, yeah, it's there. So it just hit me again. Like, I got to get this story on video. So thanks to my creative team and guys who made that happen. That was a beautiful story. I want to tell you guys a couple things. One, I want to open the Bible up to a verse in Hebrews that kind of is going to pair with this story a little bit. Hebrews 13. Such an interesting little verse here. We're going to read verse 1 and verse 2. Hebrews 13, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. It's an interesting verse. I don't know if you've ever thought about it much, but there are angels who can take on human form. And without knowing it, there could be angels in this room. Like on the way home, you might pass an angel on the side of the road. It's an amazing verse too because, the next verse just begins to talk about prisoners and how we should treat prisoners. And the next verse talks about marriage. I don't know if there's a connection between prison and marriage, But it has nothing to do with angels. Paul just says, hey, and by the way, guys, that guy over there might be an angel. And then he just leaves it. Like, the rest of Hebrews never mentions an angel again. So I take it that is a couple of things. One, I take it as we aren't supposed to really talk a lot about angels. But angels are mentioned over 180 times in the New Testament. 190 times in the Old Testament. They play a part in the Christian walk. So I just wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about angels. You guys okay with that? And I'm not talking about angels like your girlfriend's an angel. I want to clarify that too. Not the same angel that's in some of those songs that you sing, you know, you're my angel, you know, not like that. I'm talking about spiritual beings who God's messengers, God's holy ambassadors who fulfill missions that God has given them, sometimes in heavenly realms, sometimes right here on earth. And for some reason, sometimes they seem to take on human form and join us in things. So I don't know if you're getting this, but this is wild. This is wild. So I have this thing now. Every time I'm downtown, anytime I'm walking around and I see someone who looks a little rough, who I can maybe is going to come up to me, in the back of my mind, I'm always thinking, is this an angel? So I run tests. I don't know if you guys do this, but I read this verse years ago, and I said, I need to know. I want to know, you know? So I'm just waiting for them to, like, cuss. Because I feel like I can disqualify them as an angel if they do the right or the wrong things. So I'm constantly looking like, if they say something wrong or if they do something out of place, that'll tell me if it's an angel or not an angel. Nobody else, I'm the only one that does this. Okay, wow. All right, well, you should start doing it. It's really fun because what it will do is it will begin to open your eyes to things that are spiritual more often. You'll begin to wonder, this person looks like they're glowing a little bit. I don't know if she's pregnant or if she's an angel. This guy he's mysterious. He might be an angel. It's really fun. You guys got to try it sometime. I actually used to go to a church when I was a little kid. It was down on Whitney Street, which is it's a little back street. You wouldn't even know. It's a little teeny building. I mean, way smaller than even this room right here. We would have church and we had pews. And then on every pew, at the end of the pew, had a big window. And every window was stained glass. I don't know if you guys ever went to a stained glass window church, but I would go to kids' church on Sunday mornings. But on Sunday nights, we also go to church. And on Wednesday nights, we went to church. And on Sunday nights, I had to go into big church. So we called it big church because it was for adults. And so I would sit there, and I remember I would look out the window, the stained glass window. You couldn't really see really clearly out of it, but you could look out of it and kind of see, you know, like things. You could kind of see some cars in the parking lot. You can kind of see, and I would see these lights. I mean, 10, 15 lights. Like, it looked like they were surrounding the building, like, from what I could see out of this window. Every Sunday night, I would see these lights. I didn't think anything of it. I thought maybe it's a parking lot light. Maybe it's just the way the stained glass is working. I don't know. And then one day I said, Mom, look at all these things outside. And my mom looks out the same stained glass window, and guess what she sees? Nothing. I said, Mom, you don't see like the bright, shining, like star-looking things, like just lining this place? And she says, I don't see anything. And then she says, be quiet, we're in church. And I remember thinking like, am I seeing like some angels that are wrapping around this church? I don't know, honestly. But I do know this, about 15 years later, I'm an adult now. I was probably 10 at the time. I'm an adult, and I go back to that church, and that church had moved, and a new church had moved in, and in the same stained glass windows, the same stinky pews were in that church. And I sat down, at night, and I looked out that window, and I did not see those strange, starry-looking lights. And I thought, oh my goodness, those were angels. That's the only thing I can come up with. Either that, or I was seeing things as a kid and need glasses. I don't know which one, but I just am like, wow. I feel like God is wanting us to kind of be awakened to the spiritual. And that's why Paul drops this verse. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for sometimes you are entertaining angels unaware. It's this beautiful verse, and Paul just drops it. And I don't want to pick it up and run too far with it either, because I don't feel like the Bible does that. I don't think it commands us to pray to angels. The Bible doesn't allow us to demand angels. It doesn't tell us ever to talk to angels unless they are talking to us. Like, we don't pray to invisible angels out there. But sometimes we do need angels. Sometimes you don't even know it, and angels are watching over your life and your family. Sometimes you're talking to angels and you don't even know it. But one thing that it should do for me and you is it should open our eyes. It should open our eyes to that things are deeper than what we can just see in this natural realm. Like, in Genesis, God begins to create man in his own image. And we have been given something different than every other creature on earth. We are created different than every other animal in the Genesis story. The Bible says in Genesis 2:7, it's so interesting. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. If you're reading the King James, it says, man became a living soul. Now, one, I think it's interesting that when we are created, we aren't created out of gold, which I would really hope that we were. Like, God grabbed gold. It was so valuable. And he began to form man. Or he grabbed some rare form of gem and he began to create man. But it doesn't happen. He grabs dirt, dust, clay. He grabs something that is useless, invaluable to most people. And he begins to create. And I think, one, I want you to know today that God sees value in you. And listen, and he made you. He made you the way you are. He made you out of dust. He made you out of dirt, mud. I love this in the creation story because it's humbling, isn't it? Like, I don't know if you know this, but you're not that special. You got made out of dirt. And I want to tell you this because oftentimes I too feel like I am not living up to what God wants me to be. And I feel like I'm collecting junk all the time, and I'm having to make sure that junk doesn't stick. And I find myself having like things that make me feel dirty. Like, I just feel like sin and things are jumping on and trying to like pull me down. And I want to tell you today that you are made of dirt, and dirt does not scare God. The junk in your life doesn't scare the creator of the heavens and the earth. Jesus is not waiting for you to get perfect before coming to him. He's not waiting for you to shine like an angel before you can come to him. He wants you to come into his kingdom just as you are. Like, let him do the work inside of your heart. Jesus is not scared of your dirt. He's not scared of your shame. He's not scared of the things that you feel like are embarrassing in your life. He's okay with it. He can handle it. And that's good to know. It's good to know that dirt don't hurt. Remember that? Dirt don't hurt. The Bible actually says in Psalms that God is near to the brokenhearted, that he is close to the crushed in spirit. Like, when you are feeling your lowest, when you're feeling like you're on the ground, you might be at the point where God can begin to form you into who he wants you to be. Isn't that great? But in Genesis 2, God begins to form man out of the dust of the ground, and he begins to breathe life into man. And then it says he became a living being. What's interesting about that verse is man was already created in Genesis 1:26. Like, God had already said he created man and woman in his own image last chapter. So why did they feel the need to repeat this? And I think that there's a little nugget in there that God gave us the breath of life. He began to breathe something different into me and you. And I know what it is, and you know what it is. It is a living spirit. That you have a soul. That you are a body, but you have a soul, and you have an eternal spirit. All together. They're all one inside of you. You may not even realize it right now. You may not even be aware of it, but you have a soul. And I want to kind of break it down a little bit, because I feel like we all know we have a soul. We just aren't really remembering this. So in Genesis 1, we read that he creates us. He gives us hands, and he gives us feet, and he puts blood in us, and we begin to live. But then he gives us a soul in chapter 2. And your soul is just different. Like, we're made from dust, and we breathe, and we have life, and our heart's beating, and we have a mind that's thinking, but then we have this soul. And your soul is as real as your skin and your flesh. The mind thinks, while the soul, your soul just seems to know things, doesn't it? Let me say what I mean. Like, you need your mind to navigate the path, but it seems like you need your soul to tell you if you're on the right path. Like, your soul. Like, sometimes, like, people could use the word essence. It's like the deeper thing of who you are. Like, the immaterial part of you, your soul. It's what sets you apart from all the rest of creation, that I am more than the guy that clocks in and clocks out at work, and I can just feel it. Like, you don't even have to be a Christian to just have this deeper feeling. God, you have made me something different. I can just feel like you are working in me. I don't know what it is. I can just feel like there's more. That might be you noticing your soul. In fact, Jesus said that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. There's a difference here. Like, you can actually love God with your soul. And if you talk about your soul like you talk about your mind, it just doesn't really make sense. Like, you can capture your thoughts on paper, but you can't really capture your soul. It's hard to really write down what's coming out of your soul, isn't it? It just doesn't really work. Like, your soul seems to be just too big for paper. Like, it's just too deep. Like, I'm often aware that something is affecting my soul. I don't know if you've ever had something like that. Someone was just talking, and the more they talked, the more you felt like your soul was hurting hearing them talk. And maybe you've been somewhere, and you just walked into the room, and you felt like your soul was alive. Maybe your soul is just hurting. Like, how is it possible that you can have your soul is hurting? Maybe you've heard someone say, like, it just stirred my soul. And what I'm saying all this about the soul because I want you to be aware of the fact that you are not just a body. Like, your mind and your body are different than your soul and your spirit. And we have to understand this to really understand what it is to be a Christian, because we can't walk around thinking that it's just about the here and the now and what I see and taste and hear. Like, there's something else going on all the time. Or imagine if someone were to say, like, hey, I only abused their body. It doesn't even sound right. Or imagine if someone said, I never physically hurt them. I just verbally abuse them. Like, something happens on the inside as well as on the outside. Someone might use fear or intimidation, and they could say, I'm only manipulating their mind. Like it doesn't really work like that. We are connected. Every part of us, our spirit, our soul, and our body are integrated. And that's important, because if you grew up in church, you oftentimes can't help but see them as separate. I go to church on Sunday, I worship on Sunday, and maybe I do a life group some other time a week, maybe I do prayer in the morning, or maybe I read my Bible at this time, and then I also go to work, and then I also, you know, spend time with my family. Like, we begin to separate things that are spiritual and things that are not spiritual. Things that are of God and things that are not of God. And that can be really dangerous when we're talking about spiritual life, because everything is connected in our lives. If you begin to make outward decisions with your body, it's going to affect your spirit. And if you begin to make spiritual decisions, it's going to affect your body. Like, they connect. And I want to kind of make us aware of that, because I want us to connect those two things. Everything you do has spiritual implications. And in fact, we can say it like this, that everything in life is drenched in the divine. Everything you do has divine moments. For Charlie in that video, there was a moment where he realized he was feeding a dog. And at the same time, there was a moment that he realized that he should be loving this person. And then at the same time, he realized he might have just encountered an angel. And at the same time, God is speaking to his heart and letting him know that, like, he loves that man just as much as he loves Charlie. See the connection there? And Charlie had an eternal life change based on something that happened in the flesh in this world. But it changed him in his spirit and his soul, and he began to see how he treats people differently. He loves people differently. And I want to tell you today, one, I want to tell you that you have divine value. This is big to understand, because if you don't realize that you have value, you will never be able to see that other people have value. That you are loved by God. That John 3:16, you are so loved. You are. So step one, you have divine value. And it kind of sounds like this. I don't know why God loves me, but he does. Jesus loves me. Maybe step two would sound like, I don't know why God loves you, but he does love you. And step three, I don't know why I love you, but I just love you. Isn't that cool? Like, I don't know why, but the Jesus in me compels me to love you with the same love that he loves you with. You see that connection there? We're connecting an outer thing with an inner thing, and it's really awesome. I want to tell you guys a quick story. There was this pastor, and he had to give a little lesson to some preschoolers one day. And he wasn't really good with young kids, so he decided he would tell them about how they need to watch their tongue. And he needs to, like, control what you say. So he was kind of going off this James verse about, like, the reins of a horse. So he said, all right, kids, look, if I'm riding a horse and I pull the right rein, which way does the horse go? And all these kids raised their hand. He said, all right, which way? And the kid said, it goes to the right. And he said, yes. And if I pull the rein on the left side, which way does the horse go? And the little kid raised her hand. He said, you. He said, it goes to the left. And he's like, yeah. And if I pull both reins at the same time, which way does the horse go? And all these kids raise their hand. He says, you. And he says, it goes both ways. And I think that is so often us, isn't it? Like, we get caught in the middle. And we want to go this way. We want to go spiritual. And yet we want to go a different way. We want to go our own way. We want to go the fleshly way. And God's saying, hey, you actually are going to go both ways, whether you want to or not. You're going to either starve your spirit and you're going to feed your flesh, or you're going to feed your spirit and starve your flesh. Did I say that the same way both times? Okay. And I had this deep feeling today that no matter where you are in your life, no matter how you're feeling right now, that God is working in your spirit, that He is calling you up to a higher level, that He is working right now in you. And the beautiful thing about Christianity, the beautiful thing about the gospel of Jesus, is that the gospel can be summarized like this. God, the gospel of Jesus is this, that God wants you to take part in what He is doing in this world right now. God is inviting you in to take part in what He is doing in the world right now. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus broken down. That no matter who you are, no matter the color of your skin, no matter the gender, no matter what your mom said about you, no matter what your dad said about you, no matter who was not there for you or who was there for you, God sees you as valuable and He loves you right where you are, just the way you are. And Charlie brought that out so beautifully in that story, and I just want to nail that down right now today, that you are loved. Jesus came to earth just to show you that you are loved by the Creator of the universe. You are loved. You are divine. That you are spiritual. That He has a call on your life. That He has things that He's wanting you to do. And if we would stop for a moment, we would sense that. We would feel that. We would know that. So I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for one moment. Maybe you don't even know for sure about God. Maybe you don't even really know if God's real. I just know that right now that He is working in your heart. And you can feel that call, that burn in your soul for more. And I can't answer everything about God, but I can tell you this, that He's real and that Jesus is calling you today. Jesus is calling you up. He's calling you to a new life with Him. The Bible says something beautiful. It says that when you become a Christian, old things are passed away. Your past becomes your past. And all things become new in Jesus. So today, maybe you need to just say, Jesus, I surrender to You. Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross, so that we can have a connection with You, so that our spiritual lives can be awakened again with how beautiful You are. And that we would see that everything in life is spiritual. That You would open our eyes to see the divine, to see My divine value, and to see that everyone has divine value. If everyone would just pray this prayer, if that's you, God's working on your heart, God's calling you up, if God's calling you to step up with Him, maybe to renew your walk with Him or to begin a walk with Jesus, I just want everyone to pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Jesus, I give You my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is Yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you guys give it up for anybody that prayed that prayer for the first time?